This is Seth Juarez from Channel 9, again with Rowan Miller, talking about Editing Framework 7. Pretty excited. What feature do you want to talk about now?
Now I want to talk about a new feature that we've enabled in EF7 for shadow properties. Okay. So this is the idea that I have something that I want to be part of my model, but it's not necessarily part of my CLR class.
Interesting.
So this is useful in a few scenarios. One, there may be some stuff that I want to reason about with my context, but I don't really want to expose it in my domain classes because it's not really part of my domain model.
Got it.
Another example would be I'm using an existing class that's compiled in an assembly for my domain model, and I don't have the ability to go and change it.
I see.
So I want to start tracking some extra information, but I can't just go and change the class.
Got it.
You can particularly imagine this in scenarios such as CRMs or other business applications that have the idea of flex fields, mm-hmm. where I buy something from a manufacturer, software manufacturer, and then I have the ability to add extra fields to the person and the business entity and things like that.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Let's dig into code and see what that actually means. So the same model we've been using all along, blogs and posts. Now what I want to start doing is tracking the date and time that a blog was last modified.
Okay.
So what I would traditionally do is go and start typing in a property here. I would create a date time property called last modified.
Uh-huh.
I don't really want to do that though, because I don't want my application to interact with this property. It's just something I want to track.
I see.
So rather than adding it here, we're going to go to on model creating. Remember, this is where we can use some code to further configure the model. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do model builder. We're going to pull up the configuration for blog. And then I'm going to use the property method. Now this is traditionally where I would write a lambda that refers to one of the properties in my CLR class.
Uh-huh.
But instead of that, I'm going to call a different overload where I specify a time and then I give it a name. So by doing this, we're introducing a new property that's date time and called last updated.
Okay.
Now at this point, I could continue configuring it the same as any other property. So I could change the column name, I could change the column type. In our case, I'm happy with all the defaults, so I'm just going to leave it like this.
So this might be a something that just, like, I like the last updated, because when you last update, it's just whenever it's inserted, you don't really want to say datetime.now every time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I don't really want it. So obviously I could set this up to be set in the database. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to do this in memory. But the way I want to do it, I actually want to reason about this property in my save changes event.
I see.
So I've overridden save changes here. And I've written a little bit of code here. This just calls the change tracker. It pulls up all the entries for blog entities.
Mm-hmm.
So entries are the information that the change tracker is keeping about each entity attached to the context.
I see.
And I want to get the ones that are either in the added or the modified state.
Okay.
So this is basically giving me all blogs that are added or modified. I'm then going to loop through them. And then for each one, I'm going to, again, use a property API, refer to a property that's not part of my CLR class, and set the current value to UTC now.
I see.
Okay. Now, I could be setting any property here. This doesn't have to be a shadow property.
Right.
This is a good API for setting a shadow property. Now there's one last thing I need to do. Save changes kicks off a process called detect changes. And detect changes is responsible for looking at my entities and working out what's changed in them.
Okay.
Now that's going to happen as part of this base.save changes method. But I actually need it to happen before I start calling the change tracker API. So here I'm just going to add in a call to change tracker.detect changes. This will make sure EF is up to date with everything I've changed in my entities.
Okay.
All right. With that.
So let's
yeah,
pause
let's
there. So the change tracker is more of like, this is the current stuff that's on the stack to be pushed to the database.
Yes, absolutely. It basically has an entry for every entity that I've told the context about, whether that's something I queried from the database or something I added.
Okay.
And then it's working out, have any of the properties changed? Has it started referencing any new objects that I should start referencing?
Mm-hmm. And in this case, you need to detect changes before you modify the shadow property.
Yeah. Just because save changes itself will do that, mm-hmm. but I'm not calling the base save changes until after my logic has run.
Got it.
All right. So I've padded out this application to do what we've seen a few times now, which is insert three blogs.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just run it. And when it completes, we will go to SQL Profiler. And we'll see that in addition to all the properties that map to things in my CLR class, I'm also interacting with the last updated property.
Got it. This feels like a very non-static way of doing things inside of your database, inside of a static language, for example.
Yeah, it's kind of a way of augmenting your static classes with, it's not really dynamic because all the classes need to have the same thing, but
right.
you can add on flexible data that's
Got
not
it.
Part of your domain class. Okay, so we're able to save it. Now, I said that last updated is not really part of my domain model, mm-hmm. but there may be some cases where I actually do want to interact mm-hmm. with it. So we're going to look at running a query that uses that particular property that we just added. So we're going to query from the db.blogs. Actually, let's wrap this up in a link statement. So from b and db.blogs. We're going to order by, and we're going to make use of a new kind of static helper method here. So ef.property. We're getting the property from the blog that we're querying. And we want to get the last updated property. Now, for link to work, link strongly typed, so I also need to give it the data type that it is. And then we'll just do
select B.
And then we'll quickly loop over those. And we'll write out the name. Let's go ahead and run. And we'll see that the query successfully executes. And then if we go and look in SQL Server Profiler, we'll see that we are indeed ordering by last updated. So as far as the actual pipeline that interacts with the database, this is just another property in the model. When it comes to actually interacting with it as an application developer, I now have a mix of things that are part of my CLI class and things that are not.
That's cool. And if you're doing, like, for example, migrations, if you add this property, it would show up as part of the migration.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no difference to the migrations pipeline. It still behaves exactly the same as if this was defined on my CLI class.
Okay, so it's just another way of being able to extend your model without introducing breaking static changes across everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, this is really cool. Thanks for spending some time with us. Thanks for watching, and we will catch you next time. Take care.